I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunter Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
The Attorney General before a U.S. House committee insisting he's always told the truth about contacts with Russians during the presidential campaign. Jeff Sessions says,
"But I will not accept and reject accusations that I have ever lied. That is a lie."
Opening that hearing, the chairman of the House Judiciary Committee, Republican Bob Goodlatte, was pushing Sessions to name a second special counsel to look into the FBI's handling of the Hillary Clinton email scandal, the Clinton Foundation, and an Obama-era uranium deal.
"Numerous matters connected to the 2016 election remain unresolved."
Police in Tampa say they're now working on the assumption a serial killer is loose in Seminole Heights and has struck again. The latest victim shot this morning near a memorial honoring three people who were killed within days of one another in the neighborhood last month. This is USA Radio News.
A new study presented this week at the annual meeting of the American Heart Association reminds us that a growing number of people are at serious risk for heart disease. Dr. Peter Toth of the University of Illinois College of Medicine analyzed health records of nearly 22,000 patients taking statins to control bad cholesterol. Half the patients had high triglycerides and the other half had normal levels. Researchers found that people with high triglycerides had a much higher risk of heart attack, stroke, or death. Dr. Toth explains.
"We've clearly made progress in fighting heart disease over the years. We've done a great job bringing LDL, or the bad cholesterol, under control, but the risk of heart disease remains for many patients."
Dr. Toth says certain medical conditions contribute to heart disease and put patients at greater risk.
"High triglycerides, diabetes, and obesity are important identifiers of heart disease risk, and we need new approaches to how we manage that risk."
Dr. Toth urges patients to talk to their doctors about what they can do to reduce their heart disease risk. This message is brought to you by Amarin Pharma.
Deliberations resuming in the corruption trial of U.S. Senate Democrat Bob Menendez.
Now, yesterday, jurors gave the judge a note saying they couldn't agree on any of the charges in the 18-count indictment against the Jersey senator. The judge sent jurors home and told them to try again. So, deliberations continuing today. Menendez is accused of accepting bribes from a doctor in exchange for political favors.
That's Scott Pringle reporting. Calls are growing for Alabama Republican Senate candidate Roy Moore to step aside in a U.S. Senate race that will be decided in just a matter of weeks. Moore denying new accusations that he sexually assaulted a woman when she was a teenager and he was in his 30s.
"I don't even know the woman. I don't know anything about her."
Moore insisting that the accusations against him are politically motivated. That as Beverly Young Nelson yesterday went public with a new claim that she was 16 years old when Moore assaulted her in a car. Back in 1977, she becomes the fifth woman to make allegations against Moore. This is USA Radio News.
Hey, it's Brandon. For years, I couldn't get to sleep, and then I found MyPillow, and my sleep trouble went away. MyPillow works, and if you care about getting a good night's sleep, you'll get one today. Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-951-8175 and ask for the radio listener special. Use promo code USA, and you will now get 50% off of two MyPillow premium pillows and two Go Anywhere pillows. Call 800-951-8175 or go to MyPillow.com and use promo code USA to get this unbelievable offer. Don't lose another night of good sleep.
Originally a Donald Trump supporter, Republican Senator Bob Corker of Tennessee has begun to openly question Trump's competence to be president recently, with comments like these he made back in August.
The president has not yet been able to demonstrate the stability nor some of the competence that he needs to demonstrate.
Now today, Corker is presiding over a hearing that's to examine the president's authority to launch nuclear weapons. It'll be the first time the Senate Foreign Relations Committee has discussed such an issue in over 40 years. Meanwhile, as President Trump was preparing to leave the Philippines at the end of his Asia trip, he tells reporters,
"And we have at least $300 billion worth of deals, but that will be, I think, way triple that number."
The president returning to the U.S. today and is expected to detail his accomplishments on that Asian trip at a White House news conference, perhaps tomorrow. And fans will honor the life of former Phillies pitcher Roy Halladay today with a celebration of his life in Clearwater, Florida. That service being held at the spring training home of the Philadelphia Phillies, Spectrum Field. The service scheduled to start at 4 o'clock this afternoon Eastern Time. The two-time Cy Young Award winner was killed when his plane crashed into the Gulf of Mexico off Pasco County, Florida, a week ago today. Roy Halladay was 40. And remember, you can find us online at usaradio.com. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Hey, Pat, did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Hunterton Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home sweet home.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterton Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterton-chamber.org.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterton County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. Hoo-wah! It is Veterans Day weekend. We salute all those who have worn our uniform honorably. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Thank you for joining us. Joining me at the 50 caliber microphone today is co-host Air Force vet Josh Lang. Hey, what's up, Josh?
Well, you know the saying, Denny. There's no such thing as a free lunch. Well, if you're a veteran, this is the one time of the year that saying is actually wrong. It's not why we served, but if you would like to see a list of which businesses are offering Veterans Day discounts and freebies, we posted the list on Friday on our Facebook page, /Frontlines of Freedom. Happy Veterans Day to my military brothers and sisters.
Hey, that's good to hear. Thanks, Josh. Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby is rocking and rolling. We'll hear from him as he shares warrant wisdom. And Marine Vet Skip Coriel is here looking pleased with himself. What's up, Skip?
Well, Colonel, as you know, this is the peak of the rut. Now, some people don't understand what that means or they misunderstand it. I'm not talking about humans. I'm talking about deer. This is the peak of the rut. The bucks are out there. They haven't gotten lucky in like 9 months. So I was out there yesterday on stand. I watched a buck for 4 hours chase does all over the place. It reminded me of myself when I was a teenager.
And nobody shot you either.
That's good.
Here's what we have for you today. A news and comment by the Colonel. I'm going to talk about Veterans Day. Then Medal of Honor recipient Jim Doc McLuhan will join us to discuss his time in combat and his time as a coach and teacher. A point here, troops. We all should call someone who has received the Medal of Honor a recipient, not a winner. One wins the lottery. One does not win the Medal of Honor. Then we'll meet the National Commander of the American Legion, Commander Denise Rohan. She'll discuss Veterans Day and military families. Next, the former Chief Justice of the Michigan Supreme Court, Bob Young, will discuss our Constitution. You know, that document that we vets took an oath to support and defend. And, of course, we'll cover last week's Service Academy football game, which included Army beating Air Force.
Hey, troops. Please invite your friends to join us at this time on this great radio station. Then head on out to frontlinesoffreedom.com and sign up for our free e-newsletter. And join the conversation to facebook.com/frontlinesoffreedom.
We do welcome your input to the show. Send us your ideas and comments through our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com, or by Facebook. Now it's time for news and comments by the Colonel on Frontlines of Freedom. We'll start with news. Go ahead and lead out, Josh.
Army deserter Bo Bergdahl's brutal 5 years of captivity by Taliban allies carried significant weight in an Army judge's decision to spare him prison time for leaving his post in Afghanistan in 2009, legal experts said. Criticism of Bergdahl by President Trump also appeared to push the judge toward leniency. Army Colonel Jeffrey Nance didn't explain how he formulated the sentence that also included a dishonorable discharge, reduction in rank, and a fine. But the judge had to consider a complex array of arguments for and against leniency. Prosecutors asked for a 14-year prison sentence, citing several service members' serious wounds while searching for Bergdahl. The defense sought to mitigate the punishment with evidence of Bergdahl's captivity, mental illnesses, contrition, and President Trump's harsh criticism. Eric Carpenter, a former Army lawyer who teaches law in Florida, said, quote, "It's really rare for there to be this much mitigating evidence. It's kind of hard to distinguish which is the one that Nance gave the most weight to, but I think the Taliban conditions were pretty onerous." End quote. Former Air Force lawyer Rachel Van Landenham noted that Bergdahl's captivity was twice cited by officers in early investigations as a reason not to send him to prison. The officer who oversaw Bergdahl's 2015 Article 32 hearing, which is similar to a civilian grand jury process, wrote, "Imprisonment wasn't necessary largely due to atrocities against Bergdahl," though he noted he didn't have evidence of casualties on search missions. Van Landenham, who teaches law in California, said, quote, "The high-level folks who have looked at this said, we just don't think confinement is appropriate because of the amount of torture he suffered," end quote. During sentencing, Bergdahl described beatings and torture by his captors, with copper wire and unending bouts of illness brought on by squalid conditions. After several escape attempts, he was placed in a cage for 4 years. Greg Rinke, a former Army lawyer, now in private practice, said he believes the brutal conditions and their duration were the most significant of the mitigating factors.
All this is lawyer talk nonsense. Bergdahl sent home all his personal items in the weeks before he deserted. Thus, his abandoning of his unit in a combat zone was clearly intentional. And what do you think he was planning on finding once he deserted? A place to buy a bus ticket to California? Maybe a job at a local McDonald's? No, the only possible thing he could have been planning on doing was deserting to and joining the enemy. I guess he was counting on being welcomed with open arms, but he wasn't. The fact that he was abused, if his word is to be believed, has nothing to do with his desertion in time of war. He should have been executed or maybe jailed for life. His military judge betrayed every soldier who ever lived by allowing a deserter to walk. The moral of this story, change the rules. Military lawyers should have to serve 2 years in the infantry before they can return to the goofy world of law. Make them live in the real world.
For the first time, our military has conducted 2 airstrikes against ISIS in Somalia, where the militants are a growing presence in a country long threatened by the Al-Qaeda-linked Al-Shabaab. U.S. Africa Command said the 2 drone strikes killed several terrorists in northeastern Somalia. The statement read that the strikes were carried out in coordination with Somalia's government. Local officials confirmed the airstrikes. A Somali security official told the AP that at least 6 missiles struck in Buka, a remote mountainous village in the northern state of Puntland. The U.S. had carried out well over a dozen drone strikes against Al-Shabaab this year after the Trump administration approved expanded efforts against the group. Al-Shabaab was blamed for carrying out Somalia's deadliest attack last month, a massive truck bombing in the capital, Mogadishu, that killed over 350 people. Somalia's president has vowed a state of war, with neighbors sending thousands of troops to help the local military and an African Union force. But ISIS-linked fighters who have split from the Somalia-based al-Shabaab in the past couple of years pose a growing threat, notably in part of the country far from al-Shabaab's strongholds in the south.
ISIS formally owns no territory, but it's far from dead, and we need to do all we can to kill every known ISIS fighter or agent. Wherever they or any terrorist are located, they need to fear that the U.S. will hit them hard.
Over 80% of veterans nationwide favor legalizing the medicinal use of marijuana and would want to have it as a potential treatment option, according to a survey released by the American Legion. 83% of veteran households surveyed said the federal government should legalize medical cannabis, and 82% indicated that they would want to have it as a legal treatment option. In addition, 92% of veteran households support research into the efficacy of medical cannabis for mental and physical conditions and as a possible substitute for prescription opioids. The telephone survey was conducted for the 2 million member American Legion by Five Corner Strategies from October 8th to the 10th and had a margin of error of 3.4%. A memo from Five Corner Strategies said, quote, "Support for medical cannabis and research on medical cannabis is high across veterans and caregivers, all age ranges, genders, political leanings, and geography," end quote. 88% of self-identified conservative respondents, 90% of self-identified liberals, and 70% of self-identified independents supported federally legalized medical cannabis. At its national convention in Reno, Nevada in August, the American Legion adopted a resolution urging the federal government to allow doctors at the VA to discuss and recommend medical marijuana in the 26 states where cannabis is legal. Previously, the Legion had urged the removal of marijuana from the government's list of Schedule I drugs. The list includes heroin, LSD, and ecstasy, which are deemed to have no medical use. In May, VA Secretary David Shulkin said he was open to new evidence showing marijuana could be used to treat veterans. But VA policy currently bars its doctors from sharing their opinions on marijuana with veterans or recommending it for medical use.
And that's the news. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. Coming up on Front Lines of Freedom, I'll share comments by the Colonel. Then we'll enjoy some warrant wisdom. Then we'll talk with Medal of Honor recipient Jim Doc McLuhan. At ease, troops, take a break. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. I want to share about an incredible program available for our veterans across America who are suffering from PTS and traumatic brain injury. It's called After the Impact, and it serves our veterans and NFL football players. You know, it all started at the Eisenhower Center in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and is now expanded to a new facility in Jacksonville, Florida. After the Impact provides real treatment and healing in a transitional residential setting. See more about their facilities for veterans and players at EisenhowerCenter.com.
This is Marine Vet Skip Correa with your Home Defense Tip of the Week. Women should never walk alone in parks, parking garages, or other secluded areas. Rapists, murderers, and robbers look for the lone walker as it enhances their chance of success. Serial rapists need only one woman and will let two women pass on by. So bring a friend along for your walk. And don't forget to stay alert as you walk. This is just one more way to keep your family safe. For more useful tips on home and personal defense, visit HomeDefenseShow.com.
This is a special alert to consumers who owe back taxes to the IRS.
Due to the financial hardship consumers are facing during the decline in the U.S. economy, the Internal Revenue Service has made it easier to settle tax problems. An open phone line has been established by National Tax Relief. Grab a pen or put this number in your cell phone, but call 1-800-210-0311 today. That's 1-800-210-0311. When you call, you'll get information and see if you qualify. If you owe back taxes to the IRS and can't afford to pay them back, there's no need to fear anymore. You may qualify for a program that could settle your tax problems and save you money. For free information and to see if you qualify, call National Tax Relief today at 1-800-210-0311. That's 1-800-210-0311. 1-800-210-0311.
Join us for a fun-filled evening at the Hunterdon County Crime Stoppers annual fundraiser, Thursday, November 16th, 6:30 to 9:30 p.m. at Lone Eagle Brewing, 44 Stangle Road, Flemington. Craft beer tasting, great food, door prizes, live music, and a 50-50 raffle. Tickets are $50 each, and sponsorship advertising opportunities are available. Please visit www.crimestoppershunterdon.com or call 908-437-0126. We'll have a barrel of fun.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum. It's 20 minutes after the hour, and you are in formation and listening to the Front Lines of Freedom all across America. A Front Lines of Freedom salute to one of our show's sponsors, Honor and Remember. Our nation must never forget those who paid the ultimate sacrifice for our freedoms. This is the mission of Honor and Remember, a nonprofit based in Virginia, with support from their national sponsor, Spartan Nash, the leading distributor to U.S. commissaries and fifth largest food distributor. Learn more about how you continue the mission at honorandremember.org. Now it's time for comments by the Colonel. World War I, known at the time as the Great War, officially ended when the Treaty of Versailles was signed on June 28, 1919, in the Palace of Versailles in France. However, fighting ceased nearly 7 months earlier when an armistice, or temporary cessation of hostilities, between the Allied nations and Germany went into effect on the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month. For that reason, November 11th, 1918, is generally regarded as the end of the war to end wars. In November 1919, President Wilson proclaimed November 11th as the first commemoration of Armistice Day with the following words: "To us in America, the reflections of Armistice Day will be filled with solemn pride in the heroism of those who died in the country's service and with gratitude for the victory, both because of the thing from which it has freed us and because of the opportunity it has given America to show her sympathy with peace and justice in the councils of the nations." The original concept for the celebration was for a day observed with parades and public meetings and a brief suspension of business beginning at 11 a.m. But in 1954, after World War II had required the greatest mobilization of soldiers, sailors, marine, and airmen in the nation's history, and after American forces had fought aggression in Korea, Congress, at the urging of veteran service organizations, amended the Act of 1938 by striking out the word armistice and inserting in place the word veterans, and Armistice Day became the Veterans Day we now celebrate. With the approval of the legislation on June 1, 1954, November 11th became a day to honor American veterans of all wars. Indeed, in practice, this is a day that we honor all people who have served honorably in our military in any capacity at any time in history, not just those who served in wars or in combat. Those who served in our military don't control if our nation goes to war during their period of service. They were available for our nation if needed. That some were not needed to fight does not degrade their availability to our nation. Indeed, we should consider those who are still in uniform and are still serving our nation to be veterans to be honored on this day. Most communities celebrate Veterans Day with parades. Some use this day to decorate graves of veterans. Many veterans organizations, like the American Legion and AMVETS, have opened houses at their posts. I encourage all patriotic Americans to do something to celebrate and remember our military on this day. This is how our children will learn to love and honor and defend our nation. For the record, those who have served or are serving our nation deserve the respect every day of the year. However, there are 3 days especially set aside to honor them. Yeah, Veterans Day is one of them. The other two are in May. The third Saturday of May is Armed Forces Day. On this day, we give special appreciation to all those wearing our nation's uniform now, whether they be on active duty or in the National Guard or Reserves. The final day is Memorial Day, formally celebrated on the last Monday in May. On this day, we honor those who have served in our military but are no longer with us. Please don't let Memorial Day be just an excuse for a 3-day weekend. Be sure your family does honor those who are now serving in heaven. One other point I want to make certainly applies to Veterans Day, but also to every other day of the year. I'm talking about showing respect for our flag and our national anthem. Okay, this doesn't apply to you if you're one of those I hate America crowd that is taking a knee for the national anthem because America isn't perfect. By the way, America hater, you're not perfect either. Okay, for the real Americans out there, I want to discuss the appropriate behavior either when the national anthem is being played or if you're at a parade or similar function and the American flag, as part of a color guard, that is a formal movement of the flag, moves past you. Here's how to act. First, stand up. Then, put your hand over your heart. Veterans, you can salute if you wish. Finally, stop talking or doing anything else besides respecting the flag. I mention this because I've seen a number of situations, from parties to formal events to athletic events, where people stand, but they talk, giggle, poke, and otherwise goof off. Troops, please make sure your friends and family members know how to behave, and that they do behave. Thank you. And those are my comments. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. You're listening to Front Lines of Freedom. We get to enjoy some warrant wisdom with Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. What do you have to share this week, Roland?
I recently attended a funeral of a former shipmate of mine. He was a husband, a father of a young child, and had been out of the military for a few years. And tragically, he committed suicide. Veteran suicide has been a hot topic for many years, especially for those who have served in Iraq and Afghanistan. And I know you've heard the statistic that each day 22 veterans take their own lives. This shipmate who committed suicide was an Afghan veteran. In fact, I selected him for a special Coast Guard team that worked with the Army in Iraq and Afghanistan. So this really hit close to home. And I asked myself, how many other members that I deployed are struggling with depression and anxiety? How many others are at risk? You know, and I found there are a ton of suicide prevention programs and resources available for veterans. But yet, the suicide rate is still crazy high. For so long, we've been looking at this only as an issue for veterans of Operation Iraqi Freedom and Operation Enduring Freedom. But after reading the latest study from the VA, I think there's an even bigger issue. That study looked at 1.3 million veterans who were discharged between 2001 and 2009 and found that there were 351 suicide among deployed veterans and 1,517 suicide among non-deployed veterans. In 2014, the latest year of available data, showed that more than 7,400 veterans took their own lives, an average of 20 per day, which accounts for about 18% of all the suicides in America. However, veterans make up less than 9% of the population. That's a 50% increase in the suicide rates among veterans. But the big surprise is that 65% of those veteran suicides in 2014 were individuals 50 years or older, many who spent little or no time fighting in the most recent wars. The other thing that stuck out to me was that only 6 out of 20 were users of the VA services. In recent years, the VA has hired 5,300 mental health providers and support personnel and has upgraded its Veterans Crisis Line. It's also elevated the profile of its suicide prevention office within the department and has launched new partnerships with community health providers to offer counseling to veterans. And this is all great. I think the VA should continue making this a priority. But what about the other 14 out of 20 veterans that committed suicide in 2014 that were not using VA services? How do we reach them? There's a lot of other resources other than just the VA available, but it's the veterans who are not asking for help that I'm concerned about. How do we reach out and support them? I think the first step is to seek out veterans and get them involved with other veterans. It doesn't have to be a VA program. For example, Team Red, White, and Blue is a community of veterans that connect through physical and social activities. You know, just being around other people who have had similar life experiences just might help. I'm Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. We'd love to hear what you think or your ideas to change the course of veteran suicide by posting on our Facebook page or contacting us through the website frontlinesoffreedom.com. Back to you, Colonel.
Roland, I so appreciate you. I'm proud to call you friend. Straight ahead, we'll talk with Jim Doc McLuhan. He's a Medal of Honor recipient. Then we'll meet the American Legion National Commander, Denise Rohan. All this is coming up. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. You are standing tall with the front lines of freedom. I'll be right back. Troops, it's time for sit-ups. 50 of them, then stand at ease. Thanksgiving is a time to spend with your friends and family, but at Spartan Nash, we recognize that not all our service members can be with their loved ones during this holiday season. As the leading distributor to U.S. commissaries and exchanges in the world, we exist to give our military heroes a taste of home. This is a part of Spartan Nash's commitment to patriotism and serving our military heroes and their families.
Wherever you spend Thanksgiving this year, we at Spartan Nash thank you for your service.
Exercise is hard. So is maintaining a healthy diet. Of course, neither is half as hard as dying. Type 2 diabetes, heart disease, and stroke kill nearly a million people a year. But most of these deaths are preventable with regular activity, a healthier diet, and not smoking. Talk to your doctor about your risk for type 2 diabetes and heart disease. You can stop it starting right now. Get moving. Visit checkupamerica.org or call 1-800-DIABETES. A message from the American Diabetes Association.
I believe that I wanted to make clear to him that he was not authorized to represent the campaign with the Russian government or any other foreign government.
Attorney General Jeff Sessions facing lawmakers today on Capitol Hill in a new round of questioning regarding his knowledge of Russian contacts made by members of the Trump campaign in the lead-up up to the 2016 presidential election. Sessions next addressed whether he had lied in a past hearing.
I will not accept and reject accusations that I have ever lied.
House Speaker Paul Ryan says Republican Senate candidate Roy Moore should drop out of the special election race in Alabama.
He should step aside. Number one, these allegations are credible. Number two, he should. If he cares about the values and the people he claims to care about, then he should step aside.
Moore is continuing to be dogged by allegations of sexual assault and sexual misconduct involving women that were underage at the time. You're listening to USA Radio News. My name is Tim Berg.
Hi, my name is Kip Herridge, and I'm the founder of the Vertical Research Advisory, or VRA. After 15 years on Wall Street, I founded the VRA in 2003, my daily investment newsletter that's been crushing the market for 14 years. I tell you what to buy and when to sell and take profits, and I only target stocks that have the ability to rise by 50% or more. For the first time, we're offering a free two-week membership. Simply go to VRAinsider.com. You also get my new book, Crash Proof Prosperity, Becoming Wealthy in the Age of Trump. Join us now at VRAinsider.com.
Hey, it's Tom Hinchey. For all you Trending Today listeners, we've got a great deal from MyPillow to help you get a better night's sleep. I love MyPillow, and I'm getting a better night's sleep. You can too. Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-951-8175 and ask for the Radio Listener Special. Use promo code USA, and you'll now get 50% off two MyPillow premium pillows and two Go Anywhere pillows. Call 800-951-8175 or go to MyPillow.com.
This is Chamber President Chris Phelan inviting you to the 29th Annual Business and Home Expo with our restaurant showcase. This wonderful event will happen on Thursday, November 9th at our new location, Next Level Arena on Case Boulevard in Flemington from 2 to 7 p.m. If you're a business or organization and would like to participate, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or visit our website at 100inchamber.org.
Troops, welcome back to the nation's largest military veteran talk radio show, Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Troops, do send me your comments and questions. Email me through frontlinesoffreedom.com. Now it's a pleasure to welcome to the show Jim Doc McLuhan. Jim was a medic in Vietnam and earlier this year received the Medal of Honor from President Trump for his actions there. So welcome to Frontlines of Freedom, Jim.
Boy, this is really special. Thank you so much.
Jim, you were a jock in high school, weren't you? And you also were you also good in academics?
Yeah, I finished in the top 10 in my class. I found out later in life that I was dyslexic, but it didn't bother me at all. So I think I'm kind of glad I never knew I was, because then I'd maybe been labeled as somebody that I'm really not. But anyway, yeah, and actually it was quite active in music, too. I had four leads and four musicals in high school.
Why did you join the Army?
I didn't. I was drafted. I was drafted right after I got my college degree from Olivet College. I had already signed a contract to teach and coach at South Haven High School. And in June, I received a letter to report for a physical in July. And by August 29th, I had raised my right hand. I was in what was called the true draft. It was not the draft lotto yet. So in 68, they were trying to get a buildup. We're not giving too many deferments, of course. So even with my credentials, I was pretty much destined to go in.
Okay. And how'd you end up a medic? Did you pick that or what?
No, I did not. I think what they did was, preparing to be a coach, I'd taken kinesiology, physiology, anatomy, first aid, advanced first aid, strapping, and, of course, learned how to tape ankles and wrists and arms and elbows to become a coach. So I think they might have looked at that, and that's when they directed me towards Fort Sam Houston, Texas, and San Antonio to train to be a combat medic.
Okay. I imagine that was something that you found interesting.
Not only interesting, but very rewarding. I called it a positive job in a negative situation, because I was able to save lives and get guys well again who'd gotten sick, and patch them up, and anybody got diseases. Or we had a terrible thing called infantigo that a lot of guys got over there, but I was able to heal it up and keep them from getting malaria and the whole bit.
So after you finished basic and AIT and you were deployable, your first stop after that was Vietnam?
Vietnam, yep. I went straight to Vietnam from my AIT, and I was done with my AIT in the middle of February, and by March the 7th, I was in Vietnam. By March the 9th, I was on the ground in the jungle.
With what unit?
Charlie Company, 3rd Battalion, 21st Infantry of the 196th Brigade AmeriCal Division. It's the only division that has a name as well as a number. We were the 23rd Division, but called AmeriCal Division.
Yep, I'm aware of that. I commanded a Charlie Company in Vietnam, so there's something we have in common.
There we go.
So the time you got there, things were a bit warm. That was not a time of lull for combat at all, was it?
No, 68 and 69 were not the two good years to be there in Vietnam. I think 68 had the most casualties. But our particular unit, AmeriCal Division, was the largest division in the Vietnam War. And we happened to be in a very active area there in the I Corps. So, no, it was not a good time to be there.
But my experience, both my tours, is the vast majority of the guys that were over there were prepared to do their job, to fight for their buddies, to take care of things, get the job done, and go home. Did you find the same thing?
That's the goal. When you get there, when you first get there, you're fighting for your country and your community and so on and so forth. And then after you start fighting, you're just fighting to survive and get as many other guys home with you as you can. Yeah, that's absolutely right. On my birthday, April the 30th, 1969, I turned 23, and that was the day marked that the most troops were in Vietnam, 542,785, I believe it was.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. We're talking with Medal of Honor recipient Jim McLuhan. Jim, you had, I am sure, you were in a whole bunch of fights in and out of all the time you were over there. I know I was. Everybody I know who was in combat, particularly in those 2 years, was in that kind of thing. But there was one particular day that was nastier than most. Is that a fair way of putting it?
Yeah, that was a 48-hour. And then there was another time that I was on LZ East and I got overran in 20 minutes. We had 17 dead, 34 wounded. So, yep, those two skirmishes. But on the 13th through the 15th of May, 1969, We were combat assaulted into an area called Tam Key at the base of what was called Nuyan Hill, and it became known as the Battle for Nuyan Hill.
And that was no small effort.
No. No, and it was a flawed mission. Our commander told the battalion commander who was sending us in there, when he talked to him on the 12th, which was the evening before we were flown out there by helicopter, he told him it was a flawed mission because there had been no forward observation and we didn't know how many enemy soldiers were in that area. And the battalion commander told him he would either take us in or he'd be court-martialed. Now, Ernie Carrier, our lieutenant and commander for our unit, was on his second tour. He was not quite 21 yet. He lied about his age, was over there at age 17 as a lieutenant on his first tour. And I'm really fortunate that he decided he'd go in, because he knew if he didn't take us in, they'd court-martial him and they would send us in with somebody else. But he kept us alive because he was such a great commander and knew how to call in all of the special help that we got throughout that 48 hours.
Wow. You know, it's amazing how having somebody, there's a guy who knew that it was a bad mission.
Oh, yeah.
But
could sense it.
But put his life on the line. I'll bet it was more to protect his guys than it was to avoid a court-martial.
Yeah, he could have probably gotten maybe a little
slap on the hand
or something like that and send us off to get slaughtered. And of course, we had no idea. But he, being on his second tour, I'm sure he had experienced enough that he knew this was not good. When you're being sent into an area and they don't even know anything about it, he knew that that was not a good situation.
Well, and then all that stuff happened. One of the things that I have noticed about medics was that they know that it's their job to get the people that are hurt. And that usually means getting out of a protected position and going to the guys that are hurt. Everybody just does their job. You do what you have to do. In your case, and another medic's case, it was get out from behind whatever's protecting you and get out and help people. And you did that a number of times that day, didn't you, those 2 days?
Yeah, those 2 days I was credited with saving 10 Americans and one Vietnamese life. I saved two Americans on one of the trips out, so there were 11 people, but only 10 trips. Any two of them would have been enough. I should have been captured or killed 5 times in my trips out there into back towards the enemy and into the kill zone. So I was, and I could have been killed by either side. My own men were shooting out there to protect me, and I guess that's one of those moments that was good. I was short, because I was low to the ground, but I had some excellent skilled machine gunners that could fire right near my head and not hit me, but hit the people behind me. So I was in good shape.
Well, good, well-trained men and a little dumb luck never hurt anybody, did it?
No, it never hurt at all. And I tell you that in that particular battle, having those good men protecting you was, of course, I was wounded 3 times in the 2 days. I wounded first day and refused to go in because I had gotten close enough to the hill, Denny, to see that they looked like lava coming down off of there. So I knew there was plenty of them there, but I could not tell how many. Later on, it was estimated there was 2,000 NVA and 700 VC on that hill. So that's not a good proportion against the 89 of us that was dropped off to originally block the hill and ended up, of course, just battling against this force that was coming at us constantly.
Well, that's definitely the way I understand it. There's still more to learn about Jim McLaughlin, the man, the hero, and the coach. And Jim is going to stay with us. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Front Lines of Freedom. Troops, hit the deck right now and do 103 push-ups. That's how many I do every morning. Then do 20 more sit-ups and take a break, but stay in the area. Jim and I will be right back.
This report is brought to you by Bank of America, working with happiness expert Sean Acor. Research shows there is a strong connection between traveling and happiness. So how can you experience the maximum amount of joy when traveling this holiday season? Sean Acor, happiness expert.
The busier the season, the more important great travel becomes because it gives us a way to disconnect from our routines and reconnect with loved ones. This holiday season, break the stress routine and go somewhere new and exciting. Explore a new town's holiday events or start your New Year's resolutions a month early by knocking something off your family's bucket list. Joy is so important to your family, let nothing get in the way like booking a trip. A joyous family vacation starts with making things simple, like booking with a rewards credit card. With a Bank AmeriCard Travel Rewards credit card, you can earn 1.5 points per dollar spent anywhere, anytime. So you can earn points no matter where you go. That means the points I earn on this trip, I can use for more travel with my family in the future. And that makes me happy.
For more information, visit bankofamerica.com/travelconnected.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in a critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum. This is the final formation for this hour on Front Lines of Freedom. We're continuing our conversation with Medal of Honor recipient Jim Doc McLuhan. Jim, as a result of those battles, I have to believe that you were put in for some form of award, that it wasn't just recently that somebody put you in for a Valor Award. Did you get some kind of an award shortly after that?
Yes, I was put in. My platoon commander put me in for the Distinguished Service Cross, but they told him I was just a PFC and we don't get that, so put me in for the Bronze Star. He had told me this about 4 months after the battle. So I did get the Bronze Star back then, and then came home. The only two people that I told about the incident was my dad and my Uncle Jack. And 40 years later, after I retired, in 2009, my Uncle Jack got me connected with Upton out of St. Joe area there.
Yeah. Fred.
And started the process. I went through 3 congresspersons, went through Upton, and then he sent me to Levin for 4 years. Levin retired, so then Stabenow took over, and actually 4 months after she took over, and 6 years and 4 months after we had started the process, it finally went from the Public Relations Committee into the Army Board of Decoration and Awards, where it has, which is where it has to be to even get started. So that was August the 13th, 2015. That would be exactly 6 years and X amount of months after we had gotten started. So then a year later, I called to see how things were going, and it had gone to the Pentagon. And then shortly after that, we received a message from Stabenow, who was the individual senator who was representing me at the time, me and the lieutenant. Of course, they just represent me. The lieutenant really has to go back after it, and he had, along with the work that he did, 9 notarized eyewitness letters from the 32 men that made it out of the battle. So it had reached the desk of Ashton Carter, and he said, well, the Distinguished Service Cross isn't high enough for this action, so he's the one that nominated me for the Congressional Medal of Honor. Well, then they had to pass a bill.
Oh, yeah.
That's supposed to be given within a 5-year period. So they passed the bill on December the 8th. Obama signed it on December the 23rd, and the Army signed it on December the 27th. And then we didn't hear anything until we got a call on May the 25th, the Thursday before Memorial Day, and received a call from a colonel, Zara Walters, and she asked me if I'd be home the next Tuesday, the day after Memorial Day, to receive a call from a senior officer of the DOD, Department of Defense. And I said, well, what's this all about? And she said, sir, I cannot be completely transparent with you at this moment. Remember that. Sometimes you can't get people off the phone. You just tell them you can't be transparent with them at this moment. So anyhow, she said, but I can call you then at 4:30 if you take the 3:30 call. And I said, fine and dandy. So we had our phone ring exactly 3:30 on Tuesday the 30th of May, and it was Captain Leah Smith from the Pentagon. And I asked her if my wife could click in on another phone. She said she could. And so when my wife clicked in, she said, sir, I have the President of the United States on the other line for you. And that was our moment to speak with the President. And he told us that that I would be receiving it, but he didn't know when. And we had to shut up for 2 weeks. And they finally announced it on June the 13th, 2017. And I received it on the 31st of July, 2017. And the next day I was inducted into the Heroes Hall of Fame in the Pentagon.
That's quite a story. And isn't it interesting that the administrative story takes longer to tell than the combat story?
Yeah, and I did the shortened version.
and we thank you for that, too.
Yes.
Okay, Jim, yes. You served your tour in Vietnam. You came home. I presume you got out shortly thereafter.
I got out in 70, June 70.
Okay, and I presume you went to work as a coach because
I did. I did that particular fall in 1970. I came back to South Haven. I taught psychology and sociology for 38 years, and I coached 133 teams in football, wrestling, baseball, and American Legion baseball.
That's right. You basically ran the American Legion baseball program for, what, more than 2 decades?
35 summers, more than three and a half decades.
Mm-hmm. You know, in my not very humble opinion, sports is where kids learn they can do things if they'll just try hard.
There's a lot of available things out there. There's a lot of clubs and organizations that kids need to get involved in because it's going to build your character. And I always attribute 4 years of college football, 4 years of college wrestling to save my life in Vietnam and allow me to save many others because of the mental discipline I learned from those two particular sports. Yep.
Indeed. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Front Lines of Freedom. We're discussing Medal of Honor recipient Jim Doc McLuhan's post-Army career as a coach. In my opinion, when you see that light bulb come on over a kid's head, that's payday. That's what you do it for. That's where the real satisfaction comes. Did you find the same thing?
Oh, yeah. I have a favorite saying that says life is not measured by the number of breaths we take, but by the number of moments that take our breath away. And I was fortunate enough to be able to have my breath taken away a lot when you when you see somebody do something that even you know they can do, but sometimes they don't think they can do it, it's just a real wonderful moment to see somebody do something that builds their character and makes them feel good about themselves.
Well, I suspect that you have, as proud as I'm sure you are of the Medal of Honor, and you should be, the results that you produced and saw produced over those 30-plus years with youth in your community exceeds your pride for the Medal of Honor. Am I right?
Well, I've always thought that's what we were put on this earth for, is to serve other people, to be a part, just a small part of what every social unit or club or group has to do. You get more satisfaction out of giving than you do receiving, I can say that. And for me, I was fortunate enough to be involved in a lot of things. I ran the park system here for 22 years, too, in the summertime, and that also involved running the men's and women's softball programs and lots of other things. So, and I'm involved with music. I sing in a lot of my kids that I coached and taught, sang at their weddings and things like that. So it's involved me in a lot of things in the community, the church, too, of course. And I just think that everybody is missing out if they don't find some place in their town, in their village, in their city, where they can be a part of a group that will give you back 10 times what you give them.
Amen, brother. Jim, we got just a minute left. This is the Veterans Day weekend show. Talk to mm-hmm. us about what Veterans Day means to you.
Well, Veterans Day, of course, if it weren't for the veteran, we wouldn't have the peace and quiet that we have in our country. And I know there's a lot of things that go on, and we have to shake our head that these terrible things are happening around us. But as a whole, we're pretty safe to close the door at night. We might have to lock it to make sure that the bed bugs don't get in. But other than that, we're safe and free and able to choose whatever profession we want to go in, choose the bride or groom that we want to choose, and of course, especially get to choose the job that we do for my particular case, 4 decades.
Jim, this is a great way for us to celebrate Veterans Day.
I want to thank every veteran out there and those who are actively serving now, too, and I want them to know that they are well thought of today, and we are so proud of them, and we are so thankful that they've stepped up to the plate. That's an old baseball term, I know, but they stepped up to the plate and said, I will defend this country, and they put their name on a dotted line, and it was a free any value that you want to put on it, that they put their life on the line for us, and we really are grateful to them for what they do.
Jim, thank you. Thank you for taking time to join us today. Thank you for your service to our nation and the military. Thank you doubly for your service to our nation and your community since you got out of the military. I'm proud to call you a friend.
Same here, sir. Denny, you have a great Veterans Day, and all of you stay safe out there. And remember, the best way to thank a veteran is to enjoy your freedom and have that hot dog and have that potato salad, whatever it is that you're going to have today.
Amen, brother. This concludes the first hour of the show. We'll start the second hour talking with American Legion National Commander Denise Rowan about Veterans Day. Then former Michigan Supreme Court Chief Justice Bob Young will discuss the Constitution that we all took an oath to support and defend. And we'll discuss last week's Service Academy football games. Of course, we'll conclude with our weekly mailbag, military history, and our Armed America Report. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. Troops, go outside and run some wind sprints. Then, grab some protein and rehydrate with water. And finally, put a big smile on your proud-to-be-an-American face and send me your thoughts by email or on Facebook.
This report is brought to you by Marcus by Goldman Sachs. I'm Andrea Warrock, personal finance expert and ambassador for Marcus by Goldman Sachs, which offers no-fee personal loans to people with good credit. Imagine what life would be like if everything came with a fee taken out of it. What if your slice of pizza came with a bite missing? Or your new car arrived without a wheel? So why is it okay that many other lenders take up to 5% out of your personal loan as a sign-up fee? That's why personal loans from Marcus by Goldman Sachs have no fees ever. So the loan amount you're approved for is exactly the amount that you'll receive. There's also no fee for paying off your loan early. And if your payment is late, Marcus won't charge a fee for that either. Just pay the interest for the additional days. Don't get feed. See how much you could save over existing credit card debt by visiting Marcus.com and check out a no-fee personal loan from Marcus by Goldman Sachs.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and